Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or a topic of discussion, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love to share this time with you, our listeners. 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and in Canada. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about being established firm in the faith, and we need to know what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. And then we see in the Word of God exhortation to grow in the grace of God, grow in our knowledge of God's Son, grow in that relationship. Well, to do that, we have to get the basics right. We really have to be rooted and grounded in the story and knowing that we're a part of the story. And that was a major concern for these apostles, these disciples of Christ, as they penned their letters. We see that in Peter's letters. We see it in John's letters. We also see it in Paul's letters. And here in 1 Thessalonians, and that's what we're going to look at today, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through first 5 or 6 verses or so. Therefore, when we could no longer bear it, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. So Paul was concerned about what was happening with these Thessalonian believers. They were suffering. They were being afflicted. They were being pressured from external forces. And he was wondering how their faith was holding up underneath that. And so he said, we could bear it no longer. So we were willing to be left behind in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. So he knew what they were experiencing. He knew what they were undergoing, and he wanted to make sure that his work in delivering the good news and discipling them was not in vain. He wanted to know that their faith was genuine, was pure, and that they were continuing to trust the Lord and love others as Christ had loved them. So he sent Timothy. And I think that's a wonderful word of exhortation and encouragement to all pastors and ministry leaders. The job is to tell the story of Christ, to make sure people know that by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, they become a part of that great story, and that they get established in their part of that story, that they really know that they belong, that they really know that they're loved, they really know that their sins have been forgiven, so that they can carry out their purpose within the story. And so to do that, they need to be established in the faith. So your role as a minister, as a leader, whether it's a pastor out of a pulpit, whether it's somebody on a church staff, whether it's somebody who is leading a Bible study group, whether it's some people like us on radio, our job is to establish people in the basics of the gospel, so that folks will know, not just, wonder and maybe hope or those sort of things, that they will actually know that they are a part of God's story that is being written in Christ and through his work of death, burial, and resurrection. So Paul sent Timothy to establish and exhort them in their faith. And he came back with a report. He says in verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you." So Timothy went. He established them in their faith. He encouraged. He exhorted. Then he came back to Paul, and he brought a good report.
Yeah.
And it was a report of their faith in Christ and their love one for another. Now, love is the result of faith. As we abide, as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see that faith manifested in love one for another. So Paul got that great report back from Timothy about these Thessalonian Christians. And man, that does a person's heart good. And he goes on to say in verse 8, for now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul rejoiced at the report of Timothy. And what was that report? Timothy commended these Thessalonians for their faith in Jesus and their love one for another. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that are important as far as God is concerned. So if you're struggling with doubts, if you're struggling with questions about the basics of the gospel, ask the Lord to establish you firm in the faith. And he will send the right people. And maybe it's the basic gospel broadcast.
Right.
Maybe it's a friend that comes alongside of you. Maybe it's a Bible study group that you start attending. God will work through that and establish you firm in your understanding of your part in the story, that you belong. He will give you that assurance. And then he will equip you and mature you and grow you up in the faith, so that your faith can be manifested in love one for another.
Yeah.
So that's our prayer for you, that you get established in this wonderful story of God's love and grace that is being written in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. It is Basic Gospel, and it's the good news that you hear every day. And, of course, we have that wonderful new book called The Basic Gospel, and it's yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. We encourage you to go online and click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to get a copy on the way to you. And as Bob said, let's set the foundation. Let's get back to the basics and make sure that our foundation is truly solid as we grow and mature, so that we can grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or call 844-322-2742. A quick program note as well, friends. Every Friday now for a number of weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. We started this past Friday, and if you missed that particular session, you can go to the Basic Gospel Archive. Just go to basicgospel.net, click the radio archive or radio drop-down menu, and there you'll find the archive. We encourage you to keep up, and it's going to be a wonderful study. That's every Friday for a while here on Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Jerry, a very, very pressing question, and I want to share it right now. He says, I listen to your program and really love it. I have an adult son who is questioning God. He posed these questions. If God is all-knowing, then doesn't he know who will follow him and who won't? And isn't this condemning us before we are even born? Why did he put us here? Why didn't he just put the ones he chose in heaven and the others in hell? That's from Jerry, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, that's not how God decided to work it out in human history. We have God who is outside of time, and yet he created us bound by time and space, and he has entered into time and space with us in the person of Christ Jesus, and he sent Jesus so that we might have life. Now, you know, as far as your son is concerned, that's the most pressing question. What is he going to do with Jesus? Now, there may be philosophical obstacles that are keeping his mind from fully embracing what's available to him in Christ. But I would keep pushing that issue, that here is Christ standing right before you in this gospel story, and he's offering you life. Would you like to receive that life? You know, lots of people raise questions and issues such as this, and they're just smoking guns, so to speak. They're raising those because they really don't want to receive Jesus as their very life. So they put those out there and say, you know, this just isn't the road I want to go down. So I think we have to recognize those things as such and not be deterred in pressing the issue that here is this offer of life right now, right for you today. Do you want to receive this life? and then you will be counted in those who belong to Christ and are going to be with him forever. And then once you're there, I think you'll have a renewed mind and the discernment to be able to understand the ways of God and his heart for mankind that speaks so clearly that he desires for none to perish, but all to come to repentance in him. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the question itself is very similar to a question you could ask about your current place of business, about your current government, about school, about just about anything in which I'm not in control. Why do they do it this way? And underlying the why is it's not fair. Well, God has made it infinitely available to us,
right,
to come to life and receive forgiveness of sins. I mean, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He tells us that. I love you so much that I was willing to wipe away every sin you've ever committed, every sin you will ever commit, and offer you the life that Jesus provides. Are you willing to take that? Well, I don't know. Why did you do it that way? Is that not enough?
Right.
Is that not enough? And we've got to get over our need to control. I know I do it myself. There are times when things don't go the way I want them to go spiritually or in, you know, with my car or anything else, and I start asking these kind of questions. Well, why is it going this way? Well, just calm down. You know, usually it's my wife telling me, just calm down.
And, very good for
and, that. And you take a look at what's really going on, and you say, well, if God was going to answer my question the way I've asked it, he would be required to wipe me out.
Yes.
Because that's the way it is.
And it really gets to the way we should consider things is this. And the writer of Hebrews quotes something from the Old Testament, and he says, what is man that you were mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? I mean, that's really the thought we humans should have, that God would even think about us to begin with. But yet he does, and he thinks about us in such a wonderful way that he sent Jesus to rescue us and give us new life. And that, as believers, is the message that we want to communicate. So often we raise these objections, or people raise these objections, and if you answer them, they still won't give their lives to Christ. They still won't receive Jesus as their very life. They'll come up with another objection. So I think we just keep pressing the issue that, hey, as a human being, there's something missing. And what's missing is Christ himself. And Christ is standing at the door of your heart saying, I'm ready to come in.
Yeah.
Do you want to receive me? And he loves you that much that he's a gentleman, and he allows you to be a part of that in receiving him. That's not a work. That's not something that you're doing to merit, because God's already standing, or Jesus is already standing at the door of your heart. He's already there. Simply receive him. You'll be born again, and then you will be out telling the same story to others that have the same objection that you did.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Thank you for that. And, friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, from Deer Park, Texas, David wrote to us. He said, love you guys and your answers to confusing questions. He says, teach me about the passages like the one that says that if we commit particular sins, that people are lost. I thought the precious blood of the Lamb covered and washed away all our sins. Thanks again. And that's from David in Deer Park, Texas.
Well, David, thank you for writing to us. We certainly appreciate that. I think the passage that he's referring to is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he is giving a list there about people who will not inherit eternal life. And then he goes on to say But you have been washed, you have been cleansed, you have been sanctified,
right,
by the blood of Christ and by the Holy Spirit. So what is he saying there? Paul does the same thing in Galatians chapter 5. He gives a list of the works of the flesh, and he says, don't you know that those who commit these, do these works of the flesh, will not inherit eternal life? And then he contrasts that to the fruit of the Spirit. So what is he saying? Why does he give those lists? A lot of people get frightened. Well, you know, I lied to somebody. I slandered somebody. I did this. And folks who do this are in that list who aren't going to inherit eternal life. I thought I was saved. So what is he talking about here, Richard? How can we reconcile this and understand this the way Paul really wants us to understand it and the way the Holy Spirit has really laid it out for us?
Well, you've just got to realize there are two options. You either live life on your own, trying to be your own God, or you accept Jesus Christ in his life and allow him to live his life in and through you. That's the only option. So the people who insist on living their own lives and being involved in all of these horrible things, and notice, the only ones we ever pay attention to are things like fornication and homosexuality. Look at this list. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. This is life, folks. This is life apart from Jesus. If you insist on living that life, you have rejected the offer of life that he gives you. Come to him and receive life. And we're done with this stuff. Once we have dealt with the sin of unbelief, then we are done with sin. We're not done with the flesh. We get to wrestle with the flesh, but we're done with sin. We now belong to Christ. We are his. No one can take us out of his hand. Now we get to be disciplined by the indwelling Holy Spirit, who keeps coming to us in times like those in those lists and saying, how's this working for you? Would you like to live a better life? Would you like to be able to love people the way Christ has loved you? Would you like to be able to forgive as you've been forgiven? Would you like to be able to accept people the way you've been accepted? Changes the conversation, changes your life. Fear is taken away. It's replaced by grace through faith.
Yes, indeed. So the passage, 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous? So he identifies the people, the unrighteous. Well, if you're unrighteous, you're lost.
Correct.
And if you're lost, then this is your lifestyle. And he lists out what the lifestyle is. And then he says, and such were some of you. We were all once lost.
Yes.
We were all once unrighteous. But we've been washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're no longer counted as unrighteous. We are righteous. We have been given the very righteousness of Christ Jesus. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, when it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, and he goes on, and as I warned you, I warn you again, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that word do isn't like a word that says you just did something. It's a word that speaks of practice, habitual practice, of lifestyle. So doing the works of the flesh is the lifestyle of the unrighteous. That's what they do habitually. When we come to Christ, the habits of our heart change, the habits of our actions change. We begin to reflect Christ's life, living in and through us. And so occasionally we might do the deeds of the flesh, but we're not doing those as unrighteous people, but as righteous people. And that's why the light of God's Spirit shines brightly on those. And you look at it and say, wow, that is yucky. That's not me. I don't belong there anymore. Thank God I have been washed, set apart, sanctified by the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Guys, had a question from Mark on Facebook. He says, Christ did not end the law when he came. Please show me if I'm wrong. Christ stressed that it will not change as long as there is a heaven and earth. Yes, yet none of us can keep the law. That is why we are to forgive others so we can be forgiven. We must confess and repent of our sin. So am I a troll, like you said on the radio broadcast, because I tested Saul or Paul and found him to be false? You say Christ did not teach the gospel when he walked on the earth. Even all of his witnesses, all of the witnesses say he did all of his life.
Well, it's a couple of things. One, Mark, we have never, ever, 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 ever said, or would we ever, ever say, that Jesus did not teach the gospel. He taught the gospel, and he was very clear. For example, in Matthew 16, when he asked that most compelling question, I think it's the most compelling question that's ever been asked. He asked it of his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" So Peter stood up, and because God the Father had revealed this information to him, he gave the correct answer. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And there was more conversation. And then eventually Jesus had a pivot point in the conversation, and he said, "Here's what's going to happen. I am going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be arrested. I am going to be crucified, buried. But on the third day, I am going to come back to life. I'm going to be raised from the dead." That's the gospel. So he was very clear in teaching that gospel and saying, "This is what's going to happen to me." Why? Because that is the event. That is the event that changed human history, that changed and brought hope into this world. Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. So Jesus plainly spoke about that. They didn't understand it. They had no clue what he was talking about. They couldn't get past the fact that Jesus was saying that he was going to be arrested and crucified as a common criminal. Yeah. That just messed them up in their thinking. So they never got past the death to see the hope of the message that he was going to come back to life, that he was going to be raised from the dead. So Jesus spoke the gospel. He talked about the gospel. He talked about our way of life as believers, that we are to abide in the vine. We're branch. He is vine. We're to abide in him and allow the fruit of his life to be expressed through us. That's the Christian life. Jesus taught that. What did the apostles do in their letters? They helped to explain that. Yeah. So it's very clear that Jesus taught the gospel. Now, as far as the law is concerned, the law still has a spiritual purpose. It's that purpose is still in effect, but that purpose is for the unrighteous. The law isn't for the righteous, it is for the unrighteous, to show a person their lost condition. So that purpose is still in effect. But as far as that old covenant is concerned, that came to an end at the cross, and those righteous requirements have been fully met in Christ, and because Christ met them, then we can experience new life in him. We've been released from those requirements, from the law of sin and death, by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is basic. This is the basic gospel.
Yeah.
And that's why we've put together our resource this month, because we want you to be established in that basic gospel, and we want you to help others be established in this gospel as well, that it's all of Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Give today. Request your copy of the Basic Gospel.
Yeah, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Right now, in the next 5 minutes, before your next program starts on this particular station, is a great time to call or go online. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of this great new book, The Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again tomorrow at the very same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.